From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. Let me just say it straight and cut to the chase. Christians can be very naive. Here's what I mean. Sometimes we treat temptation like it's a piece of chocolate cake. It's our guilty pleasure. But behind every seemingly innocent temptation stands an enemy who's working overtime to bring us down. And today I want to reveal three deadly variables that make up Satan's plan to lead us down the path of destruction. My message is titled The Temptation Equation on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
The temptation that assaults you, the depression or illness that pulls you down, the private doubts you harbor about God. Those aren't just normal parts of everyday life. They're weapons in Satan's sinister battle against your faith, your family, and your future. God wants you to do more than simply hunker down and do the best you can to deflect Satan's attacks. He invites you to join him in the march against Satan and his kingdom of darkness. In his book, The Divine Defense, Dr. Robert Jeffress helps you learn and apply 6 practical strategies you can use every day to move forward in faith, defeat Satan's destructive plan, and strengthen your resolve. The book is yours when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. You can win your unseen battles and live victoriously by the power of Christ. Contact Pathway to Victory today and request your copy of The Divine Defense by Dr. Robert Jeffress.
After spending 69 days trapped in a Chilean mine, Mario Sepulveda said this week, shortly after his rescue, "I am a changed man." He said, "I buried 40 years of my life down there, and I'm going to live a lot longer to be a new person." During the time Sepulveda was trapped in the mine, he said he saw both good and evil at work. Quote, "I was with God, and I was with the devil. They fought, and God won." You know, it doesn't take being trapped in a mine for 69 days to realize that you are in a battle between good and evil. Satan has a devious desire for your life. But not only does he have that evil desire, he has a plan to fulfill that desire, to destroy every good thing in your life. Remember Ephesians 6:11, Paul said, "Put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the schemes of the devil." And we saw that word schemes, the Greek word methodia, literally means a strategy, a plan, a blueprint, if you will. Right now in hell, there is a personalized plan with your name at the top of it. It is Satan's plan to destroy every good thing in your life. We don't have to wonder what that plan is. As we look through Scripture, we discover that Satan really isn't that original. He doesn't have to come up with unique plans because the old ones work very well. And last week, we started looking at Satan's 3-pronged blueprint for your destruction. We looked at the first 2 strategies, and if you forgot what they are, write them down on your outline. Strategy number 1, Satan would love to discourage you from worshiping God. If you're a Christian this morning, he would love to send so many problems in your life, in your family, with your finances, with your health, so many problems that you turn your back on God and say, it's really not worth following God. He tried that with Job. It didn't work. The question is, will that strategy work with you? Strategy number 2, if Satan can't get you to reject God outright, he would like to distract you from serving God. That is, get you so focused on the details and delights of living in this world that it strangles out your love and service for God. We saw in Luke 8 last time how Satan distracts us. It's through worries, what if, what if, what if, or through money, or through the pleasures of this life. He distracts us from serving God. And now today, we're going to look at the 3rd and the most powerful strategy Satan has for our destruction, and that is to deceive you into disobeying God. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. He wants to deceive you into disobeying God. You know what Satan's strategy is to deceive you into disobedience? Look at James 1, verse 13. James said, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone." But here it is, verse 14. "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust." Now, in just a minute, we're going to look at what I call the temptation equation that's found in this verse. But let me say a word about that word tempt in itself. That word that is translated tempt in the English language is a word that means to entice to do evil with the promise of gain. To entice to do evil with the promise of gain. And that's what Satan does. He lures us into disobedience by dangling the proverbial carrot in front of us. Do this, and your deepest desires will be satisfied. Yet what Satan, the tempter, doesn't disclose to us is that that temptation actually will never satisfy us. In fact, when we disobey God, it not only doesn't satisfy our cravings, disobedience actually increases our cravings until we destroy everything important in our lives. Let me say that again. Sin does not satisfy your cravings. Sin, in fact, increases your cravings for disobedience until you're destroyed. Now, that's exactly what James says happens with sin in our life. Look at verses 15 and 16. Then when lust has conceived, it brings birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Disobedience always leads to death. Disobedience to God always results in the death, the destruction of everything important to you. Your relationships, your family, your career, your dreams for the future, your relationship with God. To be carried away and to be enticed by our own lust is to be drawn toward a trap that is both appealing but is also lethal. Now let's look at this temptation equation in detail in verse 14. James says, "But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust." Now here's the temptation equation. Write it down on your outline. The first factor in the temptation equation is corrupt desires plus second, the right bait plus third, the wrong choice equals sin. Corrupt desires plus the right bait plus the wrong choice equals sin and death. Now, let's look at each of those factors for just a moment. First of all, the first factor in that temptation equation is corrupt desires. Corrupt desires. You know, all of us have within us certain desires. We have a desire for food. We have the desire for shelter. We have the desire for sex. We have the desire for intimacy with other people. And there's nothing wrong with any of those desires. Those are God-given desires. He planted those desires within our heart. But what happened with the first couple is this. Satan tempted Adam and Eve with this thought. And the thought was this: if you follow after God, if you follow His plan for living, you will be robbed of some wonderful experience in life. God really doesn't care about you. God really doesn't want you to be satisfied. God is some cosmic killjoy who's really trying to rob you of a satisfying life. Therefore, you can't follow God's plan or you're going to end up unfulfilled. So Satan said to Eve, if you want to be fulfilled, follow my plan. Go ahead and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And of course, Eve and Adam fell for that trick, and the result was death. Now, Satan continues that same line with us. And that sets us up perfectly for the next factor in the temptation equation, and that is the right bait. Remember what James said? Each man is tempted when he is carried away. That means we're drawn by these corrupt desires. We were drawn toward sin. Each man is tempted when he is carried away. And the second word is enticed. Now, that refers to the right bait. In fact, that word enticed in Greek is a fishing term that means literally to hook a fish. That's the picture here. Now, hear me this morning. When James is giving us this equation for temptation, he says the way we fall into sin is by being carried away by our inward desires and then by being hooked by the master fisherman, Satan. Satan is a master fisherman. He knows exactly what bait to dangle in front of you. No, he's not omniscient. He can't read your mind, but guess what? He doesn't have to. All he has to do is observe you, observe what's going on in your life, and he knows what lure to take out of his tackle box. Perhaps you're going through a particularly rocky time in your marriage. You have this craving for intimacy. Guess which lure he's going to dangle in front of you? He'll bring that special somebody into your life at just that time and tempt you to seek intimacy outside of marriage. Or maybe he watches you. He sees you miss that promotion or that raise you think you deserved. And knowing your need, your craving for recognition, he dangles in front of you the possibility of a transfer to another job or another city that's outside of God's will for your life. Or maybe he sees that you're in financial difficulty. Guess which lure he picks out of his tackle box? He lures in front of you the possibility, the temptation of dishonest financial gain. And then he hooks you. Let's go back to the temptation equation. First of all, it begins with corrupt desires. Secondly, it begins, includes the right bait that Satan dangles in front of us. Each one is tempted when he is carried away, that is drawn, and enticed, hooked. But the third factor is a wrong choice. A wrong choice. Now, the truth is, we don't have any real choice over our corrupted desires. We inherited those from our parents, Adam and Eve. Thank you very much, Adam and Eve. Secondly, we really don't have any choice about the bait that Satan dangles in front of us. That's something that he does. Now, again, we can flee those temptations. But you know what? Even if we could isolate ourselves from everyone and everything, temptation would still be there. Remember, Jesus was alone, all by himself in the desert when the tempter came. We don't have any choice about the corrupted desires. We have little control over the temptation. But this third factor we do have control over. That is the choice that we make. Yes, that bait that is dangled in front of us looks appealing to us. It draws us to it. But we don't have to bite at the bait. We do have a choice. And I'm surprised at the number of Christians who don't understand that we really do have a choice. Instead, most Christians have adopted playwright Oscar Wilde's way to deal with temptation. He said, "After many years of study, I've determined that the best way to rid yourself of temptation is to yield to it." Now, that's a pretty fatalistic view, isn't it? You want to get rid of temptation? Just go ahead and give in to it. Unfortunately, many Christians have adopted that practice as well. They feel like, well, I just don't have any choice. I have to obey my sin nature. I have to bite at the bait. And God's word says, no, you don't. You see, Satan wants you as a Christian to think you're still under his control, at least as long as you're alive in this world. No, you're not. See, the Bible tells us that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is present in your life, giving you the ability to say no to sin. And that's what Romans 6, verses 6 and 7 are all about. Listen to what Paul said. Knowing this, that our old self, that is our corrupted desires, our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. The moment you become a Christian, that set of corrupt desires you have, they are dealt a death blow. They're not totally removed from our body, but their power over us has been broken. We don't have to say yes to sin. Sin has no more power over your life than you choose to allow it to have. That's what Paul is saying here. By the way, speaking of traps, don't fall into the trap of thinking that because you're tempted, you're sinning. A lot of people, a lot of Christians equate temptation with sin. They think because they are tempted that that means they've sinned. They think the temptation itself is a sin. Listen to me, if being tempted means you're a sinner, then Jesus Christ was the greatest sinner of all time because he faced the greatest temptation of all time. But it wasn't being tempted, it wasn't the absence of temptation that made Jesus the perfect Son of God. It wasn't the absence of temptation itself. It was the absence of yielding to temptation that proved Jesus to be the spotless Lamb of God. And it's the same way in your life, in my life. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 15. The writer says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, and yet without sin." He faced the greatest temptations any man has ever faced before, and yet he said no. Now, I know what you're thinking. I can read your mind right now. You're thinking, well, sure he said no. He was the Son of God. What else would you expect him to do? But I am not the perfect Son of God. Listen to what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying the same power that worked in Jesus Christ's life is working in your life right now. You have the same supernatural power over sin that Jesus Christ had. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. It's not just about a free ticket to heaven. It is about a brand new power that is in your life. You remember Romans 6, verse 4? Listen to what Paul said. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Do those words sound familiar to you? Those are the words you hear almost every Sunday night from the baptistry when we're baptizing somebody. Buried with him in baptism, raised to a newness of life. Now, I bet you've heard all of your life, I know I heard it growing up, that baptism is a picture of our death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That when we're lowered into the water, what we're saying is, one day my physical body is going to die and it's going to be buried, and one day I'm going to rise from the dead just like Jesus did. Haven't you heard that before? Now, that is certainly true, but that is a secondary picture of what baptism is all about. Baptism is not primarily about some future event, the resurrection of our physical bodies from the grave. Baptism is about our spiritual resurrection that occurs the moment we're saved. When you become a Christian, when you trust in Christ as your Savior, you are dying to your old way of living, and you are being raised to a brand new way of life. And just like Mario Sepulveda, that miner said, I have buried my old life back there in that mine, and I'm going to become a brand new person. When you trust in Christ as your Savior, and when you're baptized, you're saying to the whole world, I am through with my old way of living. I am being raised to a brand new way of living. But here's the great news. That resolve is a resolve that has a supernatural power behind it. Resolves in and of themselves don't accomplish anything. But the Word of God says with that resolve is the supernatural power of God. The same power that lifted Jesus out of that grave. That same power is working in your life right now to allow you to say no to sin and yes to God. If you don't hear another word I say today, hear this, Christian. You don't have to be a casualty on the spiritual battlefield. You don't have to become another notch in Satan's belt. You can resist the devil. In fact, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you do that? In the weeks ahead, we're going to be looking at Ephesians 6 and discovering Paul's 6 simple strategies for defeating Satan's plan to destroy you. I hope you'll be with us. God has put believers in a powerful position to overcome when we choose to access and deploy our divine defense. Before we wrap up today's telecast, I'd like to share a letter I received from one of our radio listeners. Cindy wrote, I listen to Pathway to Victory on my way to a very stressful job every weekday morning. I cannot tell you how much your messages, filled with understandable and encouraging wisdom from the Word of God, help me get through the workday. I just wanted to say thank you. Well, thank you, Cindy, for that kind note. I'm so glad that Pathway to Victory is an inspiration to you. And for those of you who give financially to support Pathway to Victory, Cindy's note assures you that your gifts are truly making a difference. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
When you read the news about the global pandemic and watch the reports of violence and civil unrest, it's clear that we're living in frightening times, and that's exactly how Satan likes it. The enemy wants you to live in fear, but God has given you a battle plan to spoil Satan's attacks. In his best-selling book, The Divine Defense, Dr. Robert Jeffress provides a biblical approach to gaining victory in daily life using the powerful armor described in Ephesians chapter 6. As you read, you'll learn how to apply 6 practical strategies that you can use to move forward in faith, defeat Satan's destructive plan, and strengthen your resolve. Request your copy of The Divine Defense when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your ministry gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive the Divine Defense Teaching Series on CD and DVD.
You right now are in the midst of an invisible but a very real war. The stakes are high. Your enemy is skilled and determined. The possibility of losing everything important to you is very real. You must be aware of and prepared for the fight.
Pathway to Victory is providing biblical counsel to you and your family, as well as individuals all around the world. So thank you for faithfully giving as we pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word.
Satan has developed a number of evil tactics to destroy our faith, our families, and our future. Perhaps most dangerous of all are Satan's attempts to deceive us into disobeying God. I hope today's message has opened your eyes to the temptation equation. Well, Satan is not an omnipresent being, though sometimes it might feel that way. Temptation seems to lurk around every corner. So how does the devil manage his massive operation? Tune in next time when I reveal the truth about the army of demons that Satan has at his disposal. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' best-selling book called The Divine Defense. Plus, the brochure, Equipped for Battle, is our gift to you. Simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Divine Defense teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Have you ever been in a situation where a temptation just came out of nowhere into your life? And if you didn't know better, you would think God Himself brought that temptation because it was so perfectly suited to meet the need, the hunger you had at that very moment. If your answer is yes, then you have come face to face with the world of demons.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, The World of Demons, here on Pathway to Victory.